Hello and welcome everyone to a mini-sode of Why Should Your Team Win? I have back on the show Mr. David Sparks.
Yay! Hello everyone. Yay.
Welcome to Hi. The three-timer club, David.
Yeah. I should get a shirt or something.
Yeah, well, we're here to talk about your beloved Red Wings. Red Wing fans have experienced, I don't know if whiplash is quite the word, but I started taking notes February 22nd, and a lot has changed. You had that hot 6-game win streak, and then let's go from there. What happened?
Well, yeah, that was kind of a, it was kind of a tease. But, you know, it was, I think I had written you that it didn't seem sustainable because they were playing like perfect hockey all the time. Like they were outworking they were working as hard as they possibly could. And I know what happened. I don't just from newspaper reports and whatever seems logical. And it was especially coming from like Larkin, who drives the team anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. When he's really going, it changes the whole outlook of the team, not just his line really, but really of the team, but he really drives the line, whoever's with him. And so he really, really didn't want Bertuzzi to be traded.
Yeah. Well, you predicted that.
Above all else. Yeah. Above all else, he just wanted to keep the band together and make a run. And he was right. He was like, well, if we, you know, they weren't that far off. If they just really work at it and make a run, then they can force them to make a decision, which they almost did. Right. Mm-hmm. And keep everyone around, make a run for it. And then whatever happens at the end of the year happens. Right. And for a couple of weeks there out of the All-Star break, because that was the key too. It was just off the All-Star break.
Yep.
Right. Everybody was rested. I think Larkin was kind of cranked up from the All-Star game also, which they won, which he was a big factor. Right. So, but I think it was all kind of driven by this like, rah, rah, let's go get him. And so they were just, they really responded, I guess, as a real positive there. They really did respond, and they really did just play great, just like creative, you could see them working their asses off, right?
Yeah, a lot of goals scored in that stretch.
Yeah, but the problem is that they were getting all the bounces. Everything was going in. It was like everything was going in, and the other team hit nothing but like iron, right? It was one of those things, but they were out shooting. I mean, look at how badly they outshot the Lightning, right?
Yeah, that was, you guys blipped into that wild card spot, and I got so excited for you guys. I was like, oh my god! And then of course I jinxed it. I think as soon as I sent that picture, I was oh my god, you guys got lost to Tampa Bay 0-3 or 3-0, and shots were 45-18 or something.
It was something crazy, and it wasn't even that close. I mean, and there was like the blocks were even, like Tampa Bay had 20 some blocks to like 10. It was just complete domination, and Vasilevsky just destroyed the Wings. They lost 3-0. It was like the stand on your head kind of game. It was it wasn't just the number of shots. It was the chances they had in tight everywhere. I mean, just like diving across the goal mouth and everything to make save. It was ridiculous.
Well, and you know, as a fan, you could be like, okay, we can't win every game. You know, you take your loss against Tampa, then you have those two really bad losses against Ottawa. Yeah.
Well, I think this is the key for why it was sort of a mirage all along, because it's Ottawa and Buffalo, as I'd mentioned to you, I think are they appear to be, over the last couple of years even, really bad matchups. And I'm not 100% sure exactly what it is. I don't know if it's their size and physicality. It definitely, that's the case with Ottawa, and that was on full display in those back-to-back games.
Yeah.
Buffalo, I'm not really, it seems a little, they just like, Buffalo just will outscore. I mean, like I look back after the two Ottawa games, mm-hmm. and they still have a game against Buffalo, but it was like both team, I think they were, what was it? 4-1 or 1-5-1 against both teams this year. Mm-hmm. And Ottawa had outscored them something like 20-10 and Buffalo has outscored them 19-10 or something. It's just yeah. like whatever it is against those two teams. And those are like their sort of, in terms of rebuilds, that's kind of like the Wings cohort, right? That's their sort of main rivals in the steps up from the bottom. And it has mm-hmm. been for years now. And they've been, I don't know. I you look at who they moved, right? Especially Hronek, and who yep. was having, wait, I don't want to jump ahead
no,
to the trades because,
yeah.
but that was to me a really brilliant sell high situation. Hronek yeah, had really,
yeah, he's in Vancouver now.
Yes.
He got, and then Poor what'd guy. You guys get back? I know.
Yeah, first, the Red Wings, I got the a protected first rounder that they got for a Horvat, and which is their main return.
Yeah.
And a second rounder for Hronek, which was basically a second rounder short of what the Coyotes got for a Chychrun.
Yeah,
well, you know, that's crazy. And then he has another year of team control. Hronek only has one. And he's going to get a big raise because he's arbitration eligible next year.
Yeah,
so he's going to get a big raise. And like, what the hell? Who would give anybody? If you would have told me when I was sitting in the stands with my son in the Blackhawks game, and just watching, you know, I think it was two goals in that awful, awful loss they had against Chicago at the beginning of the year. With Hronek was the last line defender on both of the goals, and both times he ended up without a stick somehow one on one, you know. And he's just from the beginning, he's just kind of he's more of an offensive guy, right? He makes a lot of he's not tremendous in his own zone. I mean, that's just mm-hmm. the way it always is. And I always felt like there was kind of a, and when you have a team with size, because he's like 6 foot, I don't
he's
even know how
guy.
Old. He's like one. Yeah. He's not that big though. He's not like Ottawa big.
Okay.
Like that, they got pushed around. You know, they really got pushed around by Ottawa, and part of it is, you know, size on defense. Really, I mean, they mm-hmm. have Seider and Sherratt, of course, who has his struggles.
Yeah.
Which was the, but then aside of that, like. It was, they were just getting, and then Hronek ended up hurt at the end of that game.
Yeah. So he's hurt. I don't know what he's doing in Vancouver now, is if he's playing or if he's.
They got him for next year, which is insane.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are they doing?
Why? Well, I'm actually talking to a Vancouver fan next weekend. Yeah. So I will ask.
People were from message boards and stuff. I saw people were really, really pissed off. They were like almost despondent Vancouver fans as a whole. Cause I was like, what are they doing? I don't get this.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, we're jumping around a bit, but
yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
No, Larkin signed that big deal. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Yeah.
8x8 or something.
Yeah. It was like, what was it? 8.5 or 6 on average. It was like, if at the beginning of the year, if you would have just based on what other guys got of a similar type, if you were to like peg what his value would be in that market, that is exactly what he got.
Yeah.
It was like a whole 3/4 of a year of agony about what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you know, Stamkos went to the end, right? With Yzerman and all that. That is just over and over, just to arrive at the market figure, basically. Yeah.
So Larkin's,
and then the next day,
yeah.
Like I was telling you, it was like the, like I, you know, once those two games hit, and then the Hronik trade, when I looked, when I opened up the computer and saw that, I it was one of those things where I'm by myself and I went, whoa, aloud. Yeah. I was, nobody saw that coming. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And, but like, I think I had messaged you, it's like, it really was like at that point, Iserman was like the, it was like the baptism scene at the end of The Godfather, right? Mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden, you know, Bertuzzi's going to be in a revolving door and they're going to jam it, you know, just like gun him down. And it was like one fell after the other at that point. And it was as like Larkin stands, stands like as Godfather to Larkin's child, signs into this big, and you saw like the happy, I don't know if you saw the picture on Twitter that they, the Red Wings put out of Larkin and Iserman, you know, smiling. They might've been shaking hands with mm-hmm. the signed contract on Larkin's kitchen counter.
Oh God.
And they're just smiling. And then like 12 hours later, he's weeping in front of a press conference because his best buddy got traded.
I know. It was weird seeing Bertuzzi in that Boston jersey, and you could still see his red elbow pads. And I was like, it's like a lot of the fans were sad about that.
Bertuzzi, you know,
he didn't play a lot of games this season.
No,
he's been hurt. Like, cause I remember I mentioned that fight where I was like, the refs just blow the whistle. Cause I mean, what's he going to do? Punch with his broken hands?
Yeah. Right.
You know, he was just like, I was like, the refs are torturing him. Like, make it stop.
Yeah. But he was, you know, the thing about Bertuzzi that, the thing that stuck out about him from day one, right, back before he was scoring 20 goals or 30, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that stuck out to me, and especially compared to someone like Anthony Mantha, who had been up already and was like a sieve, like the whole like good stick metaphor, he just like the puck always, when it was like a 50-50 or whatever, the puck would end up going toward his goal. You know what I mean? Like it was just a knack he had for getting the puck to go the correct way, which is so valuable, right? Mm-hmm. And such just like a real basic way. And that was before he sort of showed the scoring touch, which I think took kind of people by surprise. Although he was, you know, like they talk about a playoff performer, right? He was, they had won, the Griffins had won the cup, their championship when he was on that team.
Okay.
And he was a major part of it. Right. And he is like a playoff type. He's like the gritty guy who's going to get the puck to go the right way and he'll score you some goals. And he's somewhat creative passing. He's a pretty good playmaker, but the thing with his playmaking is that, and this was something that would infect that line, but even back when Mantha was still around, was the tendency for them to get too cute. Mm-hmm. They would go in stretches where they would be doing these just like god awful turnovers with, you know, just really unfortunate passes that went nowhere. Just, you know, like back passes and all these sorts of wannabe creative play. They'd get in these stretches where their passing was really great. And then it almost like sort of take over where mm-hmm. they would, it's something that Bertuzzi really struggles with at times, especially as it's sort of like akin to trying too hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But his 30 goals, but speaking about selling high, like his 30 mm-hmm. goal season was, you know, any season like that, it wasn't like that far outside. I haven't looked at the shooting percentages, but the shooting percentage wasn't crazy, I don't think. But it was like he had, I don't remember in my memory, my memory compresses everything and my memory is pretty terrible for details. But it seemed like he scored 10 of those goals in the first few weeks. You know what I mean? And it was just like breakaway and he scored. And it was like rebound off him and went in, right? With Bertuzzi type goals, right?
Yeah.
He scored like a shit ton of goals right at the beginning. And then it was, you know, more of a regular year. Mm-hmm. So there was some sense that 30 goals, and he really had to work hard to get that 30th goal too, in an empty netter. And he did miss games, of course, because he didn't get vaccinated, which a lot of fans were upset about. And I'm
Did he ever get vaccinated?
I'm sure not. No. I mean, like, and that was things like that. Like you see with what happened with Verana, the whole Verana drama, which, you know, which I don't want to jump into that necessarily, but too early, but he, you could see like the whole Michael Corleone sort of comparison. You know, you're the only guy in the NHL who's not getting vaccinated, if for the very least for your team kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he missed every game in Canada. And I'm sure that didn't sit well with Yzerman. Like you could see like the cold Corleone glare just kind of like go over his face.
Yeah.
Because that's the only guy in the entire league, right?
Yeah.
That's not a good look.
Yeah, I was super annoyed by that.
Yeah, fans were generally, the non-crazy ones, but yeah.
So we talked about Stevie Y's handling of the trade deadline. We kind of understand.
Oh, I loved every single move. I mean,
because if you look at it, you know, I always ask, why should your team win? And this year it's like, we had that playoff hope for you guys. You guys were in there, that blip, you know. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, he's not going to, what would that playoff run look like?
Right.
You know, Boston, like, all roads lead through Boston, you know, like right. that.
Who we have a home and home, next week or whatever it is, right? Like,
yeah, this weekend.
the Wings have the Wings have the toughest, going back to like the middle of the run when it was like, holy, they're actually earning a lot of points here. They're getting like in the conversation. At a certain point, they had the toughest remaining schedule of any of the contenders at the bottom, in the middle there. And their projections on The Athletic, I don't remember if it was pre-trade or post-trade, but they're after they got destroyed by Ottawa, their playoff went from like 18% likelihood to like under 5%. And then after the trades, it was worse, I think. But the point is they have, they worked their tail off to put themselves back at the edge of it. And then obviously you talked about, you know, jinxing them. The jinx is, it's a regression to the mean, you know, thing, right? Where the Tversky, the Tversky effect, even though it was like Daniel Kahneman who first noticed the effect with the Israeli pilots, right? Where they would.
I'm not familiar with that. Okay. But I'll leave a link in the bio.
Yeah. Basically, you get too much credit. So like in this case, the whole thing with the pilots is that they would get, you know, if you in the sort of simulator testing, right, in the training, if you did really well, right, and you did like the best in the class, you would get a lot of praise for, hey, nice job, right? And if you were the worst in the class, you would get like chewed out or whatever. And so the next simulation, the people who did the best are almost certainly going to regress to them, whatever they might be the best in the class, but they're not going to do that well. Everything, they got all the breaks. The timing went, you know, it was just like, you know, they did as well as they possibly could. Some of that is just statistical noise, right? It's just luck both ways. So the guys who did the best are going to do less well, and the guys who did the worst are going to do less badly, right? So there was this perception from the Israeli Air Force that the people who are doing they got the chain of causation wrong. Like, boy, these guys we chewed out did a lot better the next time. And the guys that, you know, we really praised did worse. Praise sucks, right? We need to chew everybody out kind of thing. It's just regression to it's just statistical noise, right? Like the guys.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now.
Similar situation here. Like when they're playing their best, you can't expect them to keep playing their best. They're gonna come down, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to account for that. And then sure enough, they run into a hot goalie, and then they run into this matchup problem they've always had. And yeah. 3 games later, they're destroyed.
Oh yeah, and
so, but it goes beyond that. I think with I get a feeling that it goes beyond that with, because I had read too, like comments that it wasn't just the two losses to Ottawa, it's how they lost and how bad. And I think beyond that is just, they don't play well against Ottawa. They don't play well against Buffalo. Yeah. Right. Well, and there's a reason for that. It's not mm-hmm. like an accident that they got destroyed by Ottawa 2 games in a row.
And you guys are,
up, you know?
Yeah. So you guys are still losing.
Right. The point is that it's like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The idea that they're going to go on this run after the fact against these great teams that they're measured up against, including Buffalo once more, is like they no longer had games in hand anymore, right? They had games in hand on the teams in front of them, and they were even with Buffalo and Ottawa. Now they, like, Buffalo had games in hand on them. It's just like, there's no way, you know? So that was, I think it was really smart to trade when he did, because they're not going to resign. I mean, they're not going to resign Bertuzzi unless they're going to overpay him. They're not going to resign him for like a 30 goal season salary. And that's what they're pushing for. Right. And the complaint is that, oh, he's an injury risk. Well, that was the complaint before the season, right? Like, mm-hmm. boy, they really should have moved him in the off season because, you know, who knows what his injury situation. Sure enough, he breaks both hands and, you know, the kind of just kind of how he plays, right? Kind of fits into that whole narrative.
Well, speaking of injuries, I have a couple of questions. What happened to Rasmussen?
He got smacked on the knee by a shot. Point blank on the side of the knee. So he's
done for the season?
He's done for the season. Yeah. That was a big blow too.
I think
going into Ottawa, that was a huge blow. Because
I think that's what's been buzzing with Red Wings fans right now. It sucks to lose a guy like Bertuzzi, but I think the Rasmussen is more of that kind of hurts the team more.
Especially with Ottawa.
And Husso's out with the LBI. I don't know for how long
he played. Is he out now? Just recently?
I'm like, when did I take these notes? This was 2 days ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause he played against, the last game. He didn't Philly? Play. Yeah. He didn't play against, Kraken. He didn't play against Seattle. That was and then he played against Philly and he looked fine. Pretty much, but yeah, he's ailing, I think, to some degree. He's not 100%, but they called up Nedeljkovic again and everything, so we'll see what happens there. But I don't know. They're, you know, that's the thing, like losing Rasmussen did really hurt against Ottawa because he's like a third of their physical force, really, with people like Söderblom on the minors. So they're building a bigger, faster team.
Yeah.
Right? Well, look back into the minors.
Yeah, that's kind of where I just, you know, I want to end this minisode with is, what are your hopes for this team the next 1 to 3 years?
You know, it's funny because I've reading like what's his name? Carlos Monterrez or however you pronounce it, in the Free Press and a few of those where it's like, and even their beat writer in The Athletic, right? Where there's this sense of, but when's the rebuild going to end kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's looking at, in this situation, I think that's kind of a bad question. It doesn't really make any sense because rebuilds are kind of a state of mind anyway. People are, we're not rebuilding, we're retooling or whatever. That's, mm-hmm. it's kind of like a, just sort of a philosophical difference when you're in a rebuild and when you're not.
Yeah.
You're not in a rebuild when you're actually in a playoff and you're like a buyer, right? Or you're in a playoff position, you're a buyer. Obviously, that's not the case with the Red Wings this year. So asking, like, again, it gets the causation the wrong way. You're not trading Bertuzzi because you're in a rebuild. You're in a, or you're not in a rebuild because you're trading Bertuzzi. You're in a, you know, you're trading Bertuzzi because you're still not playoff caliber, right? Mm-hmm. And Hronik, same deal. I feel like Hronik is more replaceable than Bertuzzi, right? Especially with the sort of stable of defensemen they have just waiting in the wings, especially for that payoff for him, which was crazy, right? So like, you make that deal if you're not rebuilding, right? The opportunity cost of not getting a first and a second for Hronik, let alone what Hronik's going to do next year, and then his, you know, his free agency and everything. It's too big. That was too great of a deal to pass up, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't really, and then like moving Sundqvist, no kidding, for a fourth rounder, you know, big deal. Verano, obviously that whole thing was, he was on his way out.
Well, yeah, just to touch on it. So he was in the player assistance program.
Yes.
And then he got out of the program, and that's like to help people with like mental health or maybe struggling with like an addiction issues, right, or something.
Yes. Nobody knows what that is. Nobody knows, yeah, on the outside. That's all.
Yeah. Who knows private. If it was like he had a breakdown or if he was addicted to the Oxycontin the team manager gives him, or who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because he had a surgery the year before. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, so you're like, fans are playing detective about what it could possibly, yeah, be, right? But it goes back ahead. Before that. It's like, because the previous year, because again, they made the trade with Mantha.
Yep.
Scores 8 goals in 11 games. Very exciting. He just has that scoring touch that the Wings don't have. You know, Larkin can score. They have some scoring, but he's like a pure scorer and they need that. They don't have that still. And so that was a really, really, on the face of it, a great trade. He still scored as many games as all the games he's missed. He still scored the same number of goals as Mantha has with the Capitals, which is insane.
Yeah.
But so, so last year, he shows up to camp late, first of all. He went out on the ice. He skated for 10 minutes, apparently. And then was like out, and he was like, hey, I have this shoulder problem. It needs surgery. So he had a shoulder problem all through the off season. Didn't get it looked at. Thought, oh, I'll show up and see if I can play with it. He couldn't, needed surgery. He was out until like this point of last year, right? Yeah. And then he came back and scored like crazy, right? He scored at like a Matthews level per game or per 60, I don't remember, but it was
okay.
Scores just goals like crazy, right? Out of nowhere. So at that point he was already he had already crossed Eisen, you know, that's not an Eisenman type player who shows up at camp and then like, oh, I need surgery.
He was probably thinking get it done on company time, not my summer vacation.
Well, right. And so that was already strike one. And then this whole thing with the players assistance pro, you know, whatever that was, we don't have the inside story. And then he came back from that, not in shape at all, not ready to play. So they sent him to, they were pretty disgusted, you get the feeling, because they sent him to Grand Rapids for a conditioning assignment. And then they shocked everybody by waiving him. But yeah, then he cleared waivers because they're like, what even is this guy? Because he was, I forget how many games in he was with the Griffins, and not only hadn't he scored, he might have had one assist, and he was like a pretty big minus. Grand Rapids isn't very, for all the prospects they have coming up, Grand Rapids isn't very good this year. Mm-hmm. But he was not good. And then after he got waived, then his game started to kind of come together and he started scoring. And that's when they sort of brought him up. Healthy scratch a couple games. He got into a few games. I don't think he scored a goal in the couple of games he was in, but it was very clear, like, from when they waived him, basically. It's kind of a sign that you're not really have a future with the organization.
Yeah, and now he's a Blues player.
And now he's a Blues, yeah. So that could, and they just basically gave him away, right? For like what, a seventh rounder and a minor leaguer, basically. Yeah. And they're keeping half his salary. So which is next year also, I think. So yeah, because he was still under team control even for next year, right? So yeah, that's a pretty good sign that you've sort of worn out your welcome with the team when you just sort of get waived and then given away at the deadline. Yeah. So whatever that was, he was not, yeah, the organization was just like done with him.
Yeah. Well, no, I will say for Red Wings fans, you're lucky to have Steve Yzerman as, you know, one of the guys in charge. Like you said before in a previous episode, and even in Colorado, we have a similar saying, you know, in Sakic we trust,
right?
You know,
this is so similar in terms of players and executives and just people, right?
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what the future holds for you guys.
Yeah, I am too. But my point is that I don't think it was that big of a step back. You know what I mean? Losing Bertuzzi is in terms of just play driving and potential 20 goals, but they got a lot of guys coming up. I mean, Bertuzzi wasn't in the future.
I think he just envisioned what this playoff run would have looked like. I mean, technically, you guys aren't mathematically eliminated yet. There can be a miracle on ice in the next 20 games.
If there is, it's going to happen without those two guys anyway, right?
Yeah, okay.
Like, Larkin's going to drive it. The defense, it's going, because Hronek, one thing that gets lost in all of this is the extent to which Hronek really, his big breakout season, where is that he really obviously very much benefited from the coaching staff, the strategy. The whole team has been much better in terms of, they always talk about, like Lalonde always talks about, like the risky plays and avoiding risky plays and staying on the right side of the puck and stuff. Mm-hmm. That obviously, it was rough at the beginning of the year, and then you could see it kind of take hold a few weeks in, or about a quarter of the way in, right? And that is where Hronek really took off as a player. The team kind of followed him, and that he really benefited, I think, because that was the weakness in his game more than anything else, was his taking, you know, getting caught up ice, breaking down on the defensive end, not being great one-on-one, you know, in a sort of rush or whatever. They really ironed out, and all playing with Mata really helped for so long at the beginning, especially that first part of the year before he got settled with Sherratt. his sort of like his expected goals percentage kind of suffered the way outsiders did at the beginning of the year. But you know, Jake Walman taking off, you know, he's like a similar sort of player to Hronek, but just much, much better, just much more skilled on both ends. Better skater, you know, better shot. And, you know, that more than anything. And then you have the huge defensemen coming up the pipeline. Yeah. There's like four or five guys right now who are waiting to try to like step in. It might take a few years, so it might have taken a half step back, but look at the draft capital they have. They could have theoretically thrown in another second for what they got with Hronek and got Chychrun, right? I mean, I'm not saying they're going to trade for anyone like spectacular or whatever, but they have a ton of cap room because they didn't overpay Bertuzzi, and they don't, and like all the guys coming up are going to be rookies, right? They have a lot of young players who are in the third year players.
I said, you know, I said this earlier, but I'm excited to see what you guys do in the next year or two. I think there's a lot of pressure next year because fans, like you'd mentioned, they're sick and tired of the future, you know, the constant rebuild or this and that.
Yeah. But what I would say was like, look at what Yzerman did at the draft, at free agency. And I mean, he basically picked up an entire second line and another goalie in like 3 hours.
Well, yeah, and the reality is it takes years to win a cup, you know, and it breaks your heart, but that's the truth.
But they're still on the edge of playoff contention as they were this year. They proved that they were on the edge of playoff contention this year.
Yeah.
And dumping Bertuzzi and Hronek, you have no idea what they're going to do. No idea what Yzerman is going to do ever, which is great, right? Yeah. I love that about him. But you don't know what he's going to do at free agency. You don't know what he's going to do on the trade market. He just, you know, who's he going to like call up and ask politely to give him their...
people don't even answer the phone when they see it's Joe Sakic and
it's the same kind of deal. Right? Yeah. So it's you don't know what's going to happen. They're no further away. I feel like they're closer to playoff contention than they were before the free agency this year, you know, last off season. So wait and see what happens, because I think they're going to take another step forward next year.
Yeah. Well, that's
my prediction.
Two players I wanted to bring up. Perrone. He was on a 15-point scoreless streak, 15 games. I mean, he didn't score, so that was kind of...
But he was still productive.
He just had a baby, like, yesterday, so...
Right, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But then the other player I wanted to talk about, last time when Cody was on the show, I asked what player has, you know, surprised you this season, and it was Kubalik. Yeah. And I'm looking at his numbers, and they haven't really changed too much. But so he had a really hot start. What happened to his game? Was he hurt?
You know, it's just he did get off. It was that whole thing, right? He got off to a hot start, and he's played well. He's bounced sort of up and down the lineup. He's played on the top line. He did just a couple of games ago. He started on the top line. The whole, you know, bingo balls, like on the wing right now, they're sending guys up and down the lines like crazy. Like Perron's playing on the top line, he's on the third line, he's on the second, right? It's just a big mishmash of kind of similar type players in a lot of ways. Kubalik though, this goal scoring still there. He'll still score now and again. It's just, he was unsustainably hot. It was like the whole regression to the mean kind of thing. He started out, his shooting percentage was just kind of crazy. And you know, he was going to kind of come back to earth, but you know, he's still a real good player. He's still a slick player, you know, who's a really underrated player especially in that run. He got a lot more attention because he was scoring goals, but Pew Suter is a guy I would hold on to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not like, he has some scoring in there, but his it really stands out to me last year and this year how good he is on the penalty kill. And I mean, he's just an exceptional penalty killer and not only defensively, but he has the ability to turn it into offense.
How do you say his name?
Pius Suter.
Pius. Okay.
Pius. He's Swiss. They got him from the Blackhawks also.
Well,
on a trade a couple of years ago.
Yeah. But
he's been an underrated player, I think, in that run. He was scoring. So, but again, everything was going in for Pius Suter too. Like everything was going in.
Yeah. Well, David, we could talk and talk and talk.
Oh, yes. You know. Oh, yeah. So many things.
I'm just going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much and good luck to you guys. I'm curious to see where you guys end up in the division.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I will feel really good. I will feel really good at this point if Ottawa doesn't make it and they made the big trade for Schroeder. And then because it was like the mirror opposite of what happened. You know, it was like those two games were like the looking glass for both teams, right?
And they got blown up.
I saw they got blown up by the Blackhawks the other night, and I thought that was funny.
Well, you guys play the Blackhawks tonight.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Good luck. Hopefully you get another win streak.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. At this point, though, you know, it's just all for morale, right? It's possible, but it's not going to happen. But that's where we were before the streak. It was like
the big
win streak, and then the losing streak is just the other side of the coin on that. If it was more shuffled into each other, then...
Well, how about this? We'll end on this. Do you have a message for other Red Wings fans?
It's not a big step backward that everybody's saying. It's not like, oh, they're rebuilding again. It's not like the Tigers where they wasted 5 years of a rebuild and they're almost no better, no further along than when they started in the process.
You hear that, Wings fans? They're not like the Tigers.
Do it's baseball worry. Time, baby. Oh, man. The Tigers we could talk about, too. They're a regression candidate also the other way. But they're not going to be as bad as they were last year, but they're not going to be
good. All right, Wings fans, you heard it first. Relax.
Yeah, we're all set. I feel like next year will be another step forward. I bet you they, you know, I would not be surprised, make some good moves at the, you know, it depends what happens, obviously, with injuries and everything. But
yeah,
next year, I bet you is better than this year. You know,
I'm going to agree with you on that.
We'll see.
All right, David. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right. See you later.